Hello and welcome to this, the first WPD Distribution Charging Podcast. My name is Simon Yeo. I'm responsible for, among other things, the setting of distribution tariffs for WPD. Today I'm joined by Nigel Turvey, WPD's Network Strategy and Innovation Manager. Nigel has a wealth of experience in electricity distribution commercial arrangements, covering such areas as new connections, innovation, and of course distribution charging. This is very applicable. Today we're going to discuss the Ofgem reform of electricity networks, access and forward-looking charging arrangements. Ofgem published a consultation in late July, getting more out of our electricity networks by reforming access and forward-looking charging arrangements. The consultation is now closed, but it provides a basis for today's podcast discussions. We talk frequently about there being a lot of change going on, but at the moment there really does seem to be a lot of change going on. The ongoing decentralisation of generation, the possibility of a dramatic decarbonisation of energy through increased usage of electric vehicles and electric heating, means that changes need to be managed in a way that doesn't incur additional unnecessary cost. With that in mind, we felt it would be helpful and timely for stakeholders to hear views on the process and extent of change currently happening. So we're going to go through a list of questions now with Nigel. First of all, Nigel, for the listener, can you outline what is meant by access arrangements and forward-looking charges?
Yeah, sure. The access arrangements really are about just actually being connected to the network to be able to either take electricity from it or export electricity to it. And really the issues are about defining what access people have. I think historically people have just assumed that whatever capacity they have is available 24/7, 365 days a year. And really this is about whether that is true in all circumstances or whether there should be some time restrictions on some of that access, and also about the length of access that you've actually contracted for. You know, is it evergreen forever that you have that connection capacity, or is it more that it lasts for a period of time? And really the connection charging arrangements need to reflect how that access is defined going forwards. So that's really about access. And then forward looking charges is about the ongoing running of the network and how we recover those longer term costs and how we perhaps try and influence the times and periods that people use electricity by the way we set those charges. So I think that's sort of broadly how I see the split between access and forward-looking charges.
Okay, thanks Nigel. As we all know, this project in terms of Charging Futures Forum has been going on since August, September 2017. So you've been involved in the project so far. So can you just give us a brief background on your involvement so far with the project, please?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you said, I've been involved in various reviews of charging over the years. This particular one, I got involved by being part of the task forces that were organised by Ofgem. I was particularly on the access task force, although during the project the two task forces came together so that it was a joint report at the end of the process. So as part of that, it was a series of workshops and meetings to try and go through the various options, trying to lay out what options might work or might be available and need to be considered going forwards. And really that culminated in the report which came out of those access and forward-looking charges task forces, which Ofgem have now taken forward into this consultation that they've put out.
Great, so pretty heavily involved, I'd say, in that case. So in terms of possible access arrangements going forward, what do you think are the most significant challenges facing us? For example, transition arrangements, extent of access right changes, what else?
Well, in terms of access arrangements, I mean, partly it's down to, you know, where we put a connection charging boundary. And that really does, you know, influence where we go on this. The shallower we go, the more we end up with perhaps being able to come up with shorter term access rights. Because if you're not paying for those upstream assets as part of your connection charge, you know, that allows you to contract for that access going forwards. Whereas if we, you know, stay at relatively deep or even go deeper connection charging arrangements, then clearly people are going to be expecting a very long term access right because they've contributed heavily towards those assets. So Yeah, I think that's one of the big challenges, is where we go on that connection boundary. And in regard to that, you know, the transition from where we are to that is quite interesting to consider. I mean, clearly new connections, we can do something relatively easily, but how do we manage the two processes together? Because clearly the whatever you're paying for a connection charge is related to what you pay for your forward-looking charges. So therefore, if we change one, we need to think about how we change the other and how it works in that transition process. So I think there's some significant challenges in that transition.
Okay, that sounds like fun in that case, doesn't it? How extensive should a comprehensive review of distribution charging be? I think all the indications are at the moment it's going to be pretty comprehensive. But what does it need to cover as a minimum? For example, does it need to cover asset costing models such as the 500 megawatt models? What else? What do you think should be in that pot of arrangements?
Well, I guess you've got to come up conceptually with what sort of charging methodology you want first, because ultimately, you know, there's a decision to be made on whether you actually need a 500 megawatt model or not. I mean, it's hard to really conceive of a objective process which doesn't have some form of asset model behind it to try and give some indication of the assets being used by various customers. But I think it does end up being pretty comprehensive in terms of deciding the overall framework you're looking for, and then what form of asset model you need to support that.
Do you think just because obviously my great joy is in fact a distribution charge, and as we know, but do you think that would need to be looking at, say, a generation 500 megawatt models, or is it just demand? You know, traditionally we've only looked at demand dominated models, haven't we, in terms of 500 megawatt models?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, as we get more two-way flows on the network, we do need to consider better how we do generation charges. You know, we're having to go beyond considering them as really just negative demand. And so I think we do need to have a lot more consideration about how we treat generation. And to some extent, that also extends into things like security standards, which ultimately have to underlie some of the charging arrangements. So I think, you know, some of these projects start merging together. You know, some of the work currently being done on security standards will actually relate into what's needed in the forward-looking charges.
Great. That sounds to me like it's going to be a lot of focus on other areas as well as charging. It's going to be quite difficult to keep on track, I would have thought, with that kind of breadth of... Okay, so do we see the changes to access rights impacting the cost and speed of connection in the foreseeable future? So in the next 3 to 5 years, so we're looking at, you know, are the people out there now, are they going to see any real changes in the next 3 to 5 years in terms of what they need, in terms of, which is really a connection, isn't it, really?
Well, I think we are already beginning to see changes. I mean, we've seen the introduction of flexible connections, which obviously change the access rights people have.
Yeah,
I think we'll continue to see an evolution of those sorts of things, with access being defined more in time periods. But I think in terms of anything really comprehensive, it really lines up with a price control period. I mean, if we're going to tackle issues such as connection boundary, it's very difficult to implement those other than at times of price control. And we also need to give people plenty of notice of that sort of change as well. You know, it can be quite a change to people's business models and assumptions on how their business models will work. And they need a fair degree of notice as to what changes are going to happen, so they can build those into their assumptions.
Okay, thanks. Talking about business and business models that individuals have, when do you think we might start to see the first impact assessments of any proposed changes? I mean, do you think they'll be late 2019 to start informing stakeholders what might be happening, what might be the impact, obviously the financial impact, as well as commercial arrangements?
I think we're almost going to have to. I mean, if we're looking at any substantial change to line up with the next price control, I mean, that comes in April 2023, and people do need notice. I mean, at the moment, distribution charges, we're effectively on 18 months notice of changes to those charges. So I think we really do need to target that sort of time period, late 2019, to start giving an indication to people as to where this is all going.
Okay, good. Okay, so when do we realistically expect possible changes to the structure of charges to be in place by? I mean, I guess we probably say April 23, but...
I think that, realistically, that probably is the case. I mean, there might be some, you know, relatively minor changes that can be introduced more quickly, but if there's going to be any comprehensive change, it would seem sensible to line that up with the price control period.
Okay. What are you looking for next from Ofgem? What shape should any proposed SCR take place?
Well, I think, I mean, they're already showing leadership in this area, and I think it's continued leadership in this area that we're really looking for. Yeah, the risk with these sorts of projects is that ultimately it's a fixed pot of money. So therefore, if someone gains, someone loses. And clearly, anyone who thinks they're on the losing side of how this turns out is going to object and try and raise issues and delay in doing so. So therefore, I think it's very key that the Ofgem can step up and show that leadership over the whole project to make sure it stays on track and can help with the explanation to customers as to why changes are needed and perhaps they may be impacted by those in a negative way in some circumstances.
Okay. So finally then... it's not just Ofgem, it's all of us. So what can we, in a broader context, do to help move this project forwards when we come to January 2019 and the extent of the expected significant co-review is announced?
Well, preparation is quite difficult without really knowing exactly what's going to happen. But it is that preparation. It's a case of being prepared to put resources into projects. It's a case of being prepared to step up and explain to customers what the issues are and how things are going. So I think it's just going to be, you know, relatively hard slog, and we've got to be prepared for that. We've got to be prepared to put the resources, time in, but also remember that there's a lot of stakeholders out there which can't put the time in. So therefore, we've got to try and simplify the messages and simplify the outcomes to the point where they can understand the real impact on them of what the proposed changes are, and just get out there and tell them what's happening so that they can feed into the process in whatever way they're able to.
Great, thanks Nigel. Well, that brings the podcast today to a close. Thanks very much Nigel. Hopefully in January, once the SCR has been announced, assuming it is announced then, we can perhaps get together again and have another chat and see where we go from there. Thanks very much.
Thank you.